Oh, well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places and Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and today is our live Prophecy Reality Edition. So if you're listening live on Wednesday morning, come on over to the chat room at firstamendmentradio.com and join us. Well, what are we going to do today? Well, we're going to talk more about the shadow government that works for the Antichrist. We're going to finish up that series in the second hour and pretty much just have a general discussion about things that are going on in the world around us and how they tie into prophecy. Yesterday I heard a broadcast, might as well start there. I heard True News, and Rick Wiles is getting very excited because he's been going to technology conferences where someone was injected with a microchip. You know, now I've seen this, you know, 15, almost 20 years ago, people being injected with the microchip about the size of a grain of rice, and it's a radio frequency microchip. And all it does is, when it's scanned, it might have a little bit of information in it, but basically it triggers an account number, which is yours. But you can do that with, let's say, if you have a smartphone, and you can get PayPass on it, where you just wave your phone over a thing, and it automatically reads your data. Or they have on credit cards, they have a chip on credit cards. You can wave them over or insert them into the machine. You don't slide the magnetic strip. Most cards have both. But what they do is they access your account. Now, the key to the mark of the beast is your account number that the government has for you. That way, you need that account number to buy or sell in the mark of the beast, or the usury fiat money system that we have today. So while Rick Wiles is getting all excited again, and he's repeating a lot of history over there, there's nothing new in what he's saying. This has been building for 100 years, basically, since the Federal Reserve coup, or should we say the shadow government bankers that work for the Antichrist implemented and had their obtained their coup of the U.S. Treasury in 1913. And since that time, have introduced socialism. Now, socialism has become a really hot topic here, and I believe it's going to be, you're going to hear the word socialism probably more than anything else in the coming election. Yeah, this is the, we're going up to an election year here. And socialism seems like it's going to be the thing that they're going to be fighting over. Who's more socialist? Now, I keep hearing Trump and others saying that America will never be socialist, and not on my watch. Things like that. I keep hearing from the mouth of Trump. So we're gearing up to for a really a psyop, because when the president, I mean, maybe he really believes that America will never be socialist on his watch. But the psyop is this, that America is already socialist, and most people have volunteered already. If you have a social security number and you use it, and you participate in socialism, well, guess what? You are a socialist. You know, that's like, you know, having a woman on the side and say, well, I'm not a fornicator. You know, you are a fornicator. Maybe you're even an adulterer. You know, you can participate. You can be a card-carrying member of the club, but somehow claim that you're not a socialist. It just blows my mind, really, when you think about how most people, especially on the so-called right, deny that they are socialists while they participate in socialism, they are card-carrying members of the largest socialist club on earth. And it's not just in America. This may be where it started, but it has spread to every nation by treaty. Now, fourth socialism is communism. And that's really where America has not gone yet. They're not putting a gun to your head like they did in Russia or some of these other communist countries under like Stalin or Pol Pot, where they put a gun to your head and murdered you if you would not go along with the shadow government implementation of social communism in that whatever country that you are in. Now in America, it is still voluntary, I'm glad to say, although you do lose privileges and immunities. Now, you know, they wouldn't let me get business licenses in California, you know, because I'm on the land, and this is where the state of California has its jurisdiction. Okay? And you can't get business licenses. But you know what? People used to go into business without licenses because they were free to do that. And it was buyer beware. And if someone was successful and they did good business, well, their business would grow. If someone had a bad reputation, let's say a doctor, for instance, or a lawyer, and their practice was bad and people were losing money and they were losing their cases or patients, well, guess what? Their business would drop. Maybe they'd go to another state or something. In that case, they should be hounded and pursued by those people that they've wronged. Okay? But requiring everyone to have a business license, then you have the takeover and the tyranny of experts or professional licensing consortiums and so forth. It's like, you know, it used to be, because America was free, anyone could read, Black's law and start practicing law. And if they were successful and they won cases for their clients, well, their clients would come flocking to them. But if not, well, then who would hire them, really? I mean, you know, are people so gullible that just because someone puts out a shingle and says, you know, liar, attorney at law, that they think, well, because they have a sign, they must be good and everything? No, due diligence is required, as it was in history, when anyone could, without a business license, or a professional license under some licensing authority that's really not even part of the government, like the bar. What is the government? The bar is not part of the United States government, is it? I don't think so. Or the National Medical Association, or all these things where people go to get licensed or go to school to learn. And, you know, learning is a good thing. I mean, it's like, you know, I'm going to an oral surgeon. And I checked the guy out first. I did due diligence. Now, it's easier than ever to do due diligence these days because you can go on the Internet and you can search anything and pretty much uncover the truth about what's going on. So, anyway, we have the tyranny of professional licensing authorities and stuff, but I'm getting way off my thing here. So, but anyway, I can't get professional licenses. I couldn't become a contractor, although I may be an excellent builder and a journeyman carpenter. I can't practice law, although I may know more than most lawyers. I'll tell you, just because someone has a license or whether they went to school does by no means mean that they're good, you know? There are just as many charlatans out there that are licensed as there ever were, so proportionally before there was licensing. So nobody's been saved anything by all this, the tyranny of licensing. And I can't get a driver's license, even though I'm not a driver, really don't want to be a driver. You know, a driver is a profession of someone who carries passenger or cargo for hire. So, and I found out I really don't need one to travel. I can travel because this is America, the land of the free, though most people volunteer to be slaves. It's amazing to me. And this is a very what I'm saying is very unpopular, especially since most people are card-carrying socialists and have volunteered or were volunteered by their parents for slavery. Yeah, they were enrolled in the slavery project or in the project of incompetence before they were age of majority or competent to contract for themselves. So their parents or somebody else. In my case, it was the state, you know, because I was orphaned as a child. So the state enrolled me into the slavery project. Okay, now used to be that charity was taken care of by the churches, and Catholic and Protestant churches alike in America. But now all of the Protestant churches have left off, pretty much. And there's still a lot of charity out there, and you'll find that, a lot of charity, but most charity has been left off, like all of, say, taking care of orphans and widows, and, retired persons that have no other means of income has all been left to the state. Welfare, taking care of the poor, well, that's been left to the state, too. And, the Catholic Charity is still doing a lot of work out there, as they always have done, but now they're being paid by the state, as a lot of charities are. And there's a lot of evangelical charities, like you go to some of these, what do they call them, birthing centers and stuff like that, or what do they call them, pro-life alternatives to, you know, the government-funded abortion and birth control centers. You go to these pro-life alternate centers, but while they do, I mean, basically, while they're supposedly preaching to you, but they spend most of their time helping you sign up for government pseudo-charity, because governments don't give charity. Because the government is a beast. It's not a real person. Okay? And it can't really give charitably, because for someone to be a benefactor, a charitable benefactor to someone else, they have to give of their own resources, not of a collective resource of the people that are forced to support the government's so-called charitable acts. Now, the Antichrist is right in there in the middle of it. Our late Antichrist, the one before the present one, before Bergoglio, I forget the guy's name already. Yeah, one Antichrist, and they're all pretty much the same. They have the same agenda, but he authored a work called Caritas in Veritate, and of course in Latin meaning charity and truth, but it is a lie because it is government charity that he's after. Now, we see Rick Wiles getting all excited about the mark of the beast, and it's coming, and it's going totally digital, and it's going further there every day. Like I said, I'm losing privileges and immunities, and pretty soon I probably won't even be able to use cash. They'll probably have some kind of app where you are required to verify your socialist ID even to get on the internet or have a website. All of these things, because they're incrementally taking everything away from me. See, I'm like your canary in the coal mine. Think of me that way. For all of you card-carrying socialists out there that have reformed thoughts about Christ and the gospel, and you know, I wouldn't deny you that, and I wouldn't say that you are lost. And another thing I noticed, Rick Wiles said in his broadcast yesterday or the day before, one of those days, he started ranting and raving, and he was preaching hellfire and brimstone. But his hellfire and brimstone was like this: once you get the mark of the beast, there's no going back. You are condemned forever. Well, gee, too late, you know. Sorry, Rick, but you've already got the mark of the beast, you know. Because what he's saying is he's carrying on, I believe, which is Counter-Reformation propaganda, because it goes right along with the Counter-Reformation dispensational left-behind eschatology, is that once you get the mark of the beast, there's no turning back, there's no repentance. Well, I hope there is, because I repented. And when I repented, that meant that I would stop participating. And it's not easy, because here I am. I'm retirement age, so I could start collecting yesterday. the socialist welfare system. Plus, they would love me if I did. They would reward me with thousands and thousands of dollars immediately, retroactive, because I have a disabled adult son that I take care of, but I get no welfare, food stamps, Social Security, what do they call that? Other one, social something for disabled people that they get. See, I could get all of that, and maybe don't they have survivor benefits? I mean, I am widowed too, so, they just pile it on me. And why would they do that? Why would they go and borrow money and reward me with tens of thousands of dollars just for joining up? That makes no sense to me. Unless, one, it costs them nothing, but it costs everyone something, because every time they create more money out of thin air by borrowing it into existence, the government borrowing trillions every year. That's why things are doubling in cost every, 10, 12 years now. That's the way it's been in the last 10 years. Everything has doubled in cost, practically speaking. Most commodities, foods, building materials have doubled in cost in the last 10 to 12 years. And I know this from my own experience. And you know it too. I mean, this 3% per year lie they're giving us is they're losing control. And I think they love it. The shadow government that rules for the Antichrist and controls the monetary system. They love that it's spinning out of control, because the Antichrist and his shadow government that rule the monetary system, they want their one world mark of the beast, total digital system. That's what they want. That's what they're after. As a matter of fact, they set the date for it. You can read about that in my book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. I have a chapter, I believe chapter 12 in there, of The Rapture Will Be Canceled, is on the Mark of the Beast. And they set their date for 2018. Well, 2018's come and gone. That doesn't mean that they're not on schedule. It's happening. And so they've set a new date, 2030. That's their new date, to go totally digital and accomplish what they want to accomplish. And that's fine. And they're going to get it. I mean, the Bible prophecy is history written in advance. Now, in the past, I know the Antichrist, during his 1260-year reign, which ended about the French Revolution, that, yes, the papacy ruled the old world European empire for 1260 years, ending about the French Revolution, its overt reign, just as the Bible prophecy said in advance that it was. Bible history prophecy is history in advance, and that's how we know our prophecy is true. It's like everyone, even the futurist dispensationalists, they believe that the majority of the prophecy of the Old Testament was fulfilled up until the time of Christ. Much of the prophecies of Israel were fulfilled, were given and fulfilled within a few years or within a few hundred years. And of course, the last big prophecy that was given to the nation Israel was Daniel's prophecy of the 490 years or the 70 weeks. And it was fulfilled to the letter. Of course, Jesus, unto Messiah the Prince, Jesus showing up at the Jordan River baptism scene at the end of the 69th week and the commencement of the 70th week, during which he confirmed the covenant with many for that 1 week, beginning on the ground there for 3.5 years, And he was cut off in the midst of the week, not for himself, but for the people. And he put an end to the sacrifice and oblation in the midst of that week by the sacrifice of himself. And then after the midst of the week, he continued to minister in Israel for the final 3.5 years of the 70th week in the same way that he reveals himself to the church today, spiritually speaking. He said, I will come into you and I will sup with you. And that's how he ministered to Israel during the second half of the 70th week. Because he said, if I don't go to the Father, then the Comforter won't come to you. So he visits us, he comes into us through his Holy Spirit in the same way he did in the last 3.5 years. First to Israel, first to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That was the whole purpose of the 70th week. And then after the 70th week, 3.5 years after his death and resurrection and that blessing to Israel exclusively, then the gospel went to the Gentiles and the 70th week was done. And the time of Jacob's trouble commenced until the 70, the AD 70 destruction of the city, the nation, the temple. Okay? That's history. That was fulfilled in history. And so it is with the revelation. Our friend Paul, Paul too, and some of the other epistles and gospels had prophecy in them. But specifically John, in his revelation, he wrote about, let me see what's going on here. Okay. Anyway, sorry about the interruption there. John, with his revelation, he received a message from Jesus himself to the churches. So this is the revelation is a prophecy to the churches, specifically and explicitly to the churches. It's not a Hebrew prophecy, though it does use Hebrew symbols. What other symbols did we have from history to draw on but Hebrew symbols? But they're applied to the churches because the prophecy was written explicitly to the churches about the things which are, John says, and the things which must shortly come to pass. So he talked about the things that are the seven churches which were in Asia, and there was an epistle to each church in Asia, and the church from all time is supposed to learn from those epistles because the things that Jesus wrote through John to those churches were applicable explicitly to those churches, but there were lessons there for the churches of all times because of the church age to come. And as we read through them, we see that there are things that we can learn and apply to our life today or the church that we're in today from those epistles to those specific churches of the things that are. And then he writes of the things which must shortly come to pass as to their commencement. And we'll talk a little bit more about that when we get back from some messages. You're listening to Cross the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition, and don't go anywhere.
The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is our Prophecy Reality Edition. And we're just talking about prophecy. What is true prophecy and what is not. And most of what is out there today, what most people believe in, because it's very comforting for them, is false prophecy. And how do you know your prophecy is false? Well, you know your prophecy is false if you can't verify it in history. Now, say that the futurists, dispensationalists, as well as the historicists all believe that certain prophecies were fulfilled in history up to, leading up to, first event or advent of Christ when he came the first time, showed up at the Jordan River for his baptism, which ended the 69th week, because 69 weeks unto Messiah the Prince, as the prophecy stated, and commenced the 70th week. Well, that's where they depart. They don't believe that was the 70th week. Even though Christ fulfilled the 70th week completely, they deny that to him. And they say the 70th week is not going to be fulfilled by Christ, but it's going to be fulfilled by an Antichrist in the future. And see, there's the problem. If all of your prophecy has yet to be fulfilled in the future, there's only one word for that: speculation. Yeah, because you can't verify that any of it's true. Now, we can verify, the historicists can verify, that Christ did come, he did fulfill the 70th week prophecy, because he was the messenger of the covenant, according to Malachi chapter 3. Was the messenger of the covenant who suddenly came to the temple. Yeah, remember all of that? That confirms and verifies that the Daniel chapter 9, the 70 weeks prophecy, was to be fulfilled by Christ, because it said that he would come and he would confirm the covenant with many. Yeah, so he did that. We have parallel prophecy that states the same thing. They believe the Malachi, but they don't believe that it is the same prophecy as the Daniel prophecy, because after the 70th week, they throw out the Messiah, the proper first-person antecedent to the he in the text that would confirm the covenant with many, and they replace it with the Antichrist, who isn't even mentioned in the text. Nowhere in the text is the Antichrist mentioned in the 70 weeks prophecy. Now, absent, totally absent. They try to say it's the people of the prince that will come, that will destroy the city. But that happened in 70 AD. That's history too, see? So my interpretation is fulfilled in history and verified. The dispensational left behind interpretation is unfulfilled because it's yet future, therefore only speculative. Now, there are things yet in prophecy that have not been fulfilled. Okay, very few, you know, at least for this dispensation, very few left to be fulfilled before Christ returns. Now, they're big because his returning is the biggest one, and the final battle when he does return. That's the biggest one, but most of prophecy, most of the revelation has already been fulfilled. We've seen the rise of the final or the seventh beast of the book of Revelation. You know, if you go to chapter 17 of the Revelation, you find there the mention of seven beast powers in succession. And John, when he received the revelation, the sixth one was the one that is, and the seventh is yet to come. And you know, it says some things about it. And then it says the eighth, there's an eighth that rises up, but it rises back up because it's one of the seven. Well, it can't be the seventh. The eighth can't be the seventh, because then it wouldn't be enumerated separately. So it has to be the one previous. And of course, it can only be the Roman Empire, which meaning that the seventh beast can't be the Roman Empire. And there's only one more beast in the entire book of Revelation, as a matter of fact, in the entire Bible, that could be that seventh beast, and that's the second or earth beast of Revelation chapter 13. Must be the seventh beast, because it's the only additional beast that is mentioned in the scripture. But that beast doesn't supplant, it rises up in a different locality than the four beasts before it. The four beasts before it rise up out of the sea. And so we've seen that. We've seen the earth beast rise up, which I'm saying is America, undeniably. And you can check that out for yourself. You can go to horeapocalyptica.wordpress.com. Check out Volume 3 and scroll down, and you'll see in the contents for Volume 3, you'll see Rise of the Two-Horned Earth Beast. Read it. Yeah. And you'll understand what's going on. I mean, it's undeniable once you understand. Okay, so we see something that's been fulfilled, and that's where we are. Because it's this two-horned earth beast working in conjunction with the eighth beast, which is one of the seven, which must be the sixth because it's the Roman Empire, because that's the one that had the wound by the sword, but yet was not, but yet lived, or was and is not yet is. Okay. So we see the characters on the stage, the final act, the final play here. And we can see what's going to happen by chapter 13. And we said in history, there was the time in history when the Antichrist, during his 1260-year reign, had several edicts and passed laws through his vassals, you know, through his 10 kingdoms. Which he lost one, but basically the 10 kingdom European empire represented by those 10 horns, had laws passed where it was unlawful for anyone to do business or conduct or buy or sell or even trade with anyone who was considered to be a heretic by the anti-Christian church, the Church of Antichrist. In the end, there comes a time we read about when we see the second beast standing, as it is now, so we know where we are in history. The second beast has created an image. You can read about that, too, in that same chapter. Like I said, go to horeapocalyptica.wordpress.com. Click on Volume 3. Scroll down to Rise of the Two-Horned Earth Beast, and you can read all about it. The Earth Beast, the Two-Horned Earth Beast creates an image. To the first beast, or which is really the eighth and final beast in Revelation, which is one of the seven, so it is the Roman Empire. And that deadly head wound is healed, which is the Antichrist or the papacy. Okay? So we see the stage is set, all the characters in place, and now they want to force everyone in the world to get a mark, to capitulate to the Antichrist's shadow government, financial system, one world, and so they're bringing that about. And, you know, that's where it ends. Unless you're blind, you can't see it. Okay, and most people are blind. But we know from history where all fiat currencies end. And since the fiat currency of the world reserve currency, is the Federal Reserve note, not United States, but printed by the U.S. Treasury because of the Federal Reserve coup of the U.S. Treasury in 1913. Very slick, this counter-reformation shadow government is in its dealings and workings on the world scene. Okay, so we know it's going to fail. And as the more they, I mean, how many more trillions are they going to print next year and the year after that and the year after that until we have our hyperinflation, which is inevitable because we've learned from history where this is going. And we can't deny it. It's just crazy that people are going on like it's nothing, like prices double in 10 or 12 years. It's like, what? People are blind to it because the government's still saying inflation is set at about 3%. Why is there any inflation at all? You know, we didn't have inflation 120 years ago. You know, $20 still bought an ounce of gold. You could still take your $20 bill and change it in for an ounce of gold or 20 ounces of silver coin, U.S. Mint. Yeah, that was 120 years ago. You could do that. But because of the Federal Reserve coup of the U.S. Treasury, and now they, you know, their goal was to move away from real money to where they'd have the total creation power, fiat usury currency. We know where it's going. They're going to get their Mark of the Beast monetary system. You know, that's dark foreboding for the world scene. But there's nothing else for it. 2030, definitely. Where I'll be, probably, maybe out on the street. I mean, what happens if God's people can't pay their property taxes? Okay? They'll be confiscating the property of heretics. Just as this has all happened in the past, but it's going to happen in the future on steroids. You know, more so in the rest of the world, especially in the anti-Christians or heathen nations of the world, where you go to China, India, many countries in Europe and in the Eastern world, and they're already being forced into it. Okay? And you can't operate without the mark of the beast, without a number that ties you to the system, so it's forced already. Well, that's what communism does. And so you see the rise of communism in America. They call it socialism. You have all these socialists rising up. But socialism is just, you know, is communism with a collar on, you know. They'll take the collar off, and you know that's going to happen. And we know from history where that leads to. Just ask, Stalin's Russia, you know, with his 20 million massacred by Jesuit-trained Stalin. Or how about Jesuit-trained Pol Pot in Cambodia during his regime? How many millions, tens of millions were murdered there? And just every massacre, every Holocaust that has happened has been by the shadow government. Okay? And they're trying very hard to bring it to America. Now, America is the two-horned earth beast that rose up in the wilderness, not in the old world sea where the four previous beasts explicitly rose up. And the America, the two-horned earth beast, does not conquer the sea beast before it, but it comes alongside of it, and it helps it, and it creates an image to it. That's exactly what has happened. Read that chapter, and you'll see. I mean, it's undeniable for those that have eyes to see and ears to hear. And you know what? All of the futurists out there, dispensational futurists that are hanging on to their their rapture escape, that's a fantasy. First of all, they tell you a lie. See, because John said the things which are and the things which must shortly come to pass. And they did. The revelation shortly came to pass as to its commencement, and it has been coming to pass throughout history, even to this very day. And that's why you read books like, The Last Prophecy, Hori Apocalypticae. And here, let me put that on my screen here. And if you can get these books from my website, and we publish these. This is, Last Prophecy, Hori Apocalypticae, which is an abridged version of authorized by E.B. Eliot, himself, of that great work, the Hori Apocalypticae, the four volumes. And you can get that for $8.99 e-book. You can get it from me for free just by asking. Go to the free e-book page and follow the instructions, then ask for The Last Prophecy, and I'll give you a free e-book or a PDF copy of it. But you can buy it. We have a one version here, $11.99 in a pocketbook, right there. And you can get this at lulu.com/spotlight/cross-the-border is one word. Okay? So that's an excellent read. Another resource is History Unveiling Prophecy or Time as an Interpreter, and we republished that too by H. Grattan Guinea. And like I said, all of these available for free or purchase. Your choice. We also had the four volumes of E.B. Eliot's Hori Apocalypticae. Here you see volume 3 in hardback or paperback. Okay, so it just depends on whether you want to spend, $90 or $120 to get, or more than that. I don't know, the hardback's pretty expensive. Paperback is, they're less than $20 per volume, so that's like $80 by the time they ship it. It's probably $90 for the four-volume Hori Apocalypticae. But if you only want to get three of them, the fourth one is more about the future, and it has other things in it, like the History of Apocalyptic Interpretation, which we published as a standalone or supplement. We took it out of that, so you can get that separately too if you're interested in that. Another thing that I'm working on is that here? Oh yeah, and I've only preliminarily published here The History of Protestantism, Volume 1, and that's how I'm going to do another updated version of that because I went through it again. I mean, because I haven't put it out for to all of the sources yet, like Amazon and Book Noble and all the other outlets, because I'm not done with it yet. And I'm just finished Volume 2, so I'm going to put that up there and then jump into Volume 3 so we can publish it. But you can get these free, too. You just have to put the History of Protestantism and the name Wiley, and you can get the old PDF version and read it for yourself in a PDF. But most people don't have the patience to read these. And that's why I love publishing and editing them, because I have to read every single word in these things. And what I see, because first I read the Hori Apocalypticae probably at least three times now, and I'm going to read it again. But then going through the History of Protestantism, I see all of the same things, but this is from the view of history. The Hori Apocalypticae is from the view of history given in advance and verified, or prophecy, history given in advance and verified as it played out in history. So I see this perfect union between prophecy and history from both perspectives, as prophecy and as history, how it played out. So it's wonderful, and it's great to have all of the understanding and of actual prophecy. And once you read these works, and then you realize that all that dispensational futurism offers to you as a fantasy is something that vindicates that great apostasy of the past that was foretold, that foretold great apostasy, that is the Roman Catholic Church, which is an oxymoron, because if it's truly Catholic, which means universal in Latin, how can it be Roman? Okay, so it can only be the Roman Universal Church, only applicable to Rome. Well, that's what the church in any town is the Catholic church of that town. So, like, you know, there's a town near me, Visalia or Porterville, pick one of these small towns around here in Southern California, and you have a universal church there. That means all of the churches together. So if it's the Roman Catholic Church, then that's an oxymoron, because it can't be a worldwide universal church. See, because if the Antichrist, or if the Roman, the Pope is the pontiff, or the Roman Pope is the bishop or vicar of that church, then that's all he is bishop or vicar of, is the Roman Church. See, now they'd have to lose. They'd have to go worldwide Catholic Church. Well, they can't claim that, because there's only one of those, and there's only one head of one of those, because Jesus is the only universal bishop over the church of the whole world. Stated it himself. No man comes to the Father but by me. So even the bishops in the towns of the different churches throughout the world have one head, and that one head is Christ, not the Pope, as he claims. So the Pope is Antichrist. He puts himself in the place of Christ. He usurps the place of Christ by claiming to be the head of all churches on earth. And not only that, they murdered, hundreds of millions of people who wouldn't go along. I mean, just about every Holocaust you find, basically that's the root. And he doesn't care who he murders along with it. Whether he takes some rebellious Catholics or even true Catholics along with him. If he's still extirpating heresy, as he deems it, anyone who won't go along with his Roman Universal Church over the whole world, well, then that's not a problem for the papacy. And they proved that throughout history. And they're going to prove it once again when they get their one world monetary system. And you'll notice that right there in the middle of the whole socialist movement of the world, you'll find the great Papa of the Roman Universal Church. Right there in the middle of it. Yes. And only those who don't want to see it, so let go of your fantasy, you know. Try to understand true prophecy is fulfilled in history. It's fulfilled and verified in history. And if your prophecy that you're hanging on to isn't fulfilled and verified in history, then you need to take another look. Okay? But first, what they do is they lie to you. Of course, the papacy is going to deceive you through their minions and all of their adherents, whether they know that what they're doing or not. They don't know that they're covering for the Antichrist, maybe a lot of them. They're just very comfortable because they've been sold a bill of goods. They believe that all of the calamity that John said would shortly come to pass when he wrote it in the 90s AD, okay, which did shortly come to pass as to its commencement then, and to be fulfilled throughout history. See, what they tell you is that all of the calamity that has played out through all of history and been fulfilled in history for the most part, they say, oh no, that didn't happen in history, but that's been saved for a 7-year period at the end of time, when all of that calamity is going to commence all at once in the world. And see, because God loves you so much that he's going to make sure you're not there to suffer through that. He's going to rapture you away. Okay, at the last trump. Wait a minute. Tom was saying before this, how many last trumps are you? And I think he got that from me, because that's a question I asked many, many years ago. How many last trumps are there? You know, no, there's only the resurrection. There is no rapture, and the resurrection happens when Jesus returns. There's no rapture 7 years before he returns, and all of the calamity that they're telling you is going to happen during that 7-year period, most of it has played out in history. And there's been a lot of calamity in our history. And if you read books like a Hore Apocalyptic, a history unveiling prophecy, and then you know that that's true, that all most of that calamity has already happened in history, and there's a little calamity left for the time between now and when Christ returns, and it's probably proportionally fitting, you know. And when Christ returns, well, I want to be resurrected to join him, because the calamity is going to fall on all those who are not resurrected to join him. And that's the true interpretation of the prophecy. When Christ returns, we will be resurrected and we will join him. And then the calamity is going to fall on all of those who defied and rejected and ignored him, it will commence. And then, after that judgment, the millennium will begin. Okay, you're listening to Cross the Border, a Prophecy Reality Edition. Our next segment, we're going to talk some more about the shadow government, and we're going to finish that series up. So, until then, may the Almighty bless you and keep you. And if you're listening live, well, come on back for that second hour.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
I know you all want answers, and believe me, so do I, and I'll do my best to get them.
Despite Nicolas Cage's promise to do his best to get Left Behind Rapture answers for us, don't hold your breath. Not everyone believes Left Behind is true prophecy. Some may even regard as conspiratorial the mainstream re-release of the Left Behind movie, with actor Nicolas Cage portraying the main character, as an attempt to further reinforce in the minds of all this perception of false prophecy, in order to condition the masses for the play about to begin. If you want true Bible prophecy answers, get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. The author exposes the Latin rapture origin, the seven-year tribulation deception, true Bible revelation of Daniel's 70 weeks, the abomination of desolation, the restrainer, America in the revelation, the image of the beast and the mark of the beast, and the truth about God's chosen people, and so much more about Bible prophecy. This book will shatter the left behind paradigm of future events. Get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.